We might sing a few hymns after the at the end of the service this evening. But let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 14 and get right into the message tonight. I do want to be thinking about the men that are going to be traveling and driving tonight. And I'm sure you've got, how many are trying to get things ready for school? We've got school things happening. There's parent orientation tomorrow night. So we've got a quick turnaround from Ohio to get back. If you don't know what's happening, I told a story this morning. For the last probably 2 months, we've kind of known that we're going to need some more desks and offices downstairs for the students. And so we just kind of asked the church to pray a few weeks ago and said, don't know exactly what to do, but we know that this is what we need. And so we've been kind of just praying and talking to the deacons and just bouncing off some counsel off some different preachers that I know. And what would you do here in this situation? And I kind of just followed my own advice in the message. That's always a good thing when the preacher listens to his own preaching. Last week, it just convicted me to stand still, hold my peace, just figure out what God wants us to do, and then move forward. Move forward in my own personal life. Keep reading my Bible. Keep praising the Lord. Keep praying. Keep encouraging others. So we had staff retreat this past, staff training this past week, and had a lot of things going on, and just didn't know exactly how we were going to house everybody when they get here. But by Thursday or Friday, Brother Pastor Lear was had gotten a hold of a phone number for us. And long story short, ended up getting a hold of a principal of a Christian academy in Ohio that used to do ACE. We thought they were still ACE, but they used to do it. And all of their ACE furniture was put in storage 2 years ago. And the man told me on the phone that if we'll come over tomorrow and get all of the furniture, we can have it for nothing. And so it's going to cost us a little bit. The idea behind the offering we took at the end of the service this morning was we got to run a giant U-Haul to get all that stuff. And we're going to take the church van over. We need some gas to get there and back, some food to get there and back. I'm taking six men with us. Of course, making sure that they're taken care of while they're trying to help us and work. We got hotel rooms for tonight because we got to load up early in the morning. So we're going to drive over tonight. So all of those expenses, I appreciate this morning. You'll not believe this. It's amazing. Just putting the word out and the burden out this morning, we raised over $1,300 this morning for that trip. So let me just say this to you. If you give anything else tonight, we'll put an offering plate on the back thing. We're not sure how expensive the trip's going to be. You know, all of those things are kind of up in the air. So if you give anything tonight, whatever's left over, we're going to get there. We're going to get back, take care of everything we need to take care of, gas, everything. And then when we get back, if there's anything left over, we're going to have to fix a few of the offices. The gentleman told me on the phone, just some cosmetic stuff. When we're done with all of that, anything that is left over, we're going to send back to the academy that gave us that furniture and try to be a blessing to them. So anything you can sacrificially give above your tithes and offerings that you gave today, we certainly do appreciate. God's already worked a great miracle in that, giving us the furniture. Another miracle this morning of the amount that was raised for that trip so we didn't have to take out of the church budget. And then, like I said, anything that's left over after we take up the offerings, we'll send back to the school that's giving us that offering to be a blessing to their academy in the coming year. We talked about this morning. I don't really have a whole lot of time tonight to go through all of the messages other than maybe a sentence or two about the six messages we've done already. The first message we did on the message stresses is trusting God's providence. We've been using simple phrases, simple titles, rhyming kind of titles to kind of remember these things and call to memory as we're going through the messes and stresses of life. Mess is kind of where you're at the moment. You can kind of see the trial. You can kind of feel the tribulation. The stress is kind of that thing that is coming. It's kind of that feeling you get when there's overwhelming things to get done or things to happen or things, trials and tribulations that are kind of coming down on you and you're stressed about those things. We said, what do we do in the message of stresses? Well, number one, we said, we've got to trust God's providence. We've got to believe that I am where I am because it's a part of God's plan. I don't know what everybody here is going through tonight, but I do know this. You're exactly where God wants you to be. And that's the providence of God. I had a gentleman tell me again last week. He said, you don't know what I did. I messed it up. And I said, well, good. It's almost like God puts you where he wants to put you now. He turned it. What the devil means for evil, the Bible says one of the principles of God is what the devil means for evil, God can mean for good. God can take anything and change it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says if we'll just call upon the Lord, He'll answer us and show us great and mighty things which we know not. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. So we've got to trust that He is in the future, that He sees past today, that there's no time frame to God. God is not confined by our watches and our clocks and our time frame. Lord, it's the 11th hour. God is not constrained by our 11th hour. God's providence is an amazing thing. Number two, he said, if we'll trust that we are where we are because it's part of God's plan, we said, number two, we've got to say to God and believe, Lord, help me see it's not about me. It involves me, but it's not about me. I'm the one that's in the trial, but I'm in the trial to bring glory to God. And we talked about how God said, I will get the glory upon Pharaoh. I'm going to do something, and that which I am going to do, I'm going to make sure that everybody knows that I am the Lord, and that I am the provider, and that I am the protector, and I am the deliverer, and I'm going to use Pharaoh to show you that. And so when we get in these messes and stresses, it's an opportunity for us to show God great, to show God miraculous, to show God as the great healer, to show God as the compassionate God that He is. That is our job in the trial and tribulation. That is our job in the mess and stress, is not to lose it, not to have breakdowns and all of these things that the world has. We're supposed to be saying, Lord, I want to bring you glory. And Lord, help me see, it's not about me. Number three, we said we got to keep our priority right. Not only believe in God's providence, not only have the right perspective, but we got to keep the right priority during the messes and stresses of life. We said number three, I'm aware Satan's there, but I'm safe in God's care. It's obvious that there's a trial that you're going through. There's obviously a mess that you're in. There's obvious a stress ahead of you that you could see, that something's chasing you down, something's boxing you in, something is truly wrong, and you've got to have God's answer on it. But you're safer in God's care. We're aware Satan's working. We're holding the shield of faith because the fiery darts of Satan are after us. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's a serpent in the garden that is speaking lies against the things of God. And so we're aware Satan's there, but we don't focus on him. He doesn't get the victory in this thing. Whatever he's trying to do, we're aware he's there. I'm aware that I've got the bill. I'm aware I've got a marital problem. I'm aware I've got a problem at the job. I'm aware that there's problems in the church. I'm aware that my ministry needs some help. I'm aware that I personally have some emotional or physical issues. I'm aware of that. I'm not going to focus on that, though. I'm going to focus on God, because I'm safe in His care. I'm safe where He wants me to be. I might be going through a mess, but I'm going to stay in church. I might be in a mess, but I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I might be in a mess, but I'm going to go to work and do my best. I might be in a mess, but I'm going to love those that don't love me, and I'm going to forgive those that hurt me, and I'm going to pray for those that despitefully use me, and I'm going to be what God wants me to be and do what God wants me to do no matter what. Because I'm aware Satan's there. I'm aware he's working. I'm aware that he's after me. I'm aware that he wants my life. I'm aware that he wants my family. But I'm safe in God's care. We said our prayer, thoughts about prayer have to be centered during the messes and stresses of life. We said principle number four, God may have led me this way to get me to pray in a new way. God may have led me this way to get me to pray in a new way. I don't know about you, but just about every big trial I come upon, I'm more fervent in prayer than I was before. I seem to drop to my knees faster than I did before. Yeah, Lord, I spent 5 minutes. Yeah, Lord, I spent 15 minutes. Man, I prayed through my entire list yesterday. Man, you put me in a mess. Lists go out the window. The time frame I'm praying goes out the window. Whatever else I got on the priority list is kind of set aside. And I've got to get a hold of God. And sometimes God puts us in a mess and a stress so that we'll pray in a new way, that we'll get closer to Him than we've ever gotten closer to Him. Number five, we said our patience is tested. Our patience is tested. We said principle number five is this, stand still, let God work out His will. Moses comes to the children of Israel and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, when God's doing what God's doing, the last thing he said to the children of Israel as their leader, he said, hold your peace. Stop complaining. Stop talking about where you're at. Stop letting everybody know how bad it is. Hold your peace. Let God work out His will. Stand still. Let God work out His will. Have some patience. And then this morning we said that there ought to be a pattern in our messes and stresses. There ought to be a certain pattern we follow. We will find ourselves in storms. We will find ourselves in sticky situations. We will find ourselves in messes. We will find ourselves in perceived stresses. And when we do, there's a pattern to follow. I cannot answer this. I cannot solve this. I cannot figure this out. I do not have the answer for this. But I do know this. Today, I'm supposed to do this. I don't know what 2 days is from now, 5 days, 10 days. I don't know about the job. I don't know about college. I don't know about who I'm going to marry. I don't know about that person. I don't know about my family situation. I don't know about buying that house. I don't know about buying that car. I don't know about all of those things in days ahead. But I do know this. Today, I've got some responsibilities before God. And so we said, while God works out His plan, focus on what is at hand. The Bible says six things at least. I mean, there's tons of them, but we said this morning we simply search the Scriptures. We got to stay in the Bible. He says that pray daily, morning, noon, and evening will I seek Thee. We've got to stay in prayer daily. He said exhort one another daily, encourage others daily. He said I die daily. We've got to make sure that we are staying unaffected by the cares of this world and we die daily to the things of this world. He said that we've got to carry our cross daily. We're supposed to be praising God daily. We're supposed to be worshiping Him all the time. We're supposed to be bringing honor and glory to Him. How can that person lose that loved one and praise the Lord? Well, that's what I'm supposed to do today. I don't know why God did it. I don't know what's going to happen in the end. I don't know why God has me in this mess, but I do know this. I can praise Him. He saved my soul. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have to spend 1 second in hell. I can praise Him. And so these things that happen, these principles, are something we can just kind of stop and just say, Lord, let me go through these things mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Help me to be able to say these things, but not only say them, but believe them. It's one thing to say the Dr. Seuss phrase, I am where I am because it's a part of His plan. Great. Do you believe it? Or are you still fighting to try to get out of it? Or are you still trying to calm the storm? Peace be still. You don't have the power over the storm. But you do have the power to be of good cheer. So there's certain things that, you know, we go through these trials and tribulations. Do we truly believe what God says in His Word? Let me give you another principle tonight. We're talking about Israel being at the Red Sea. He just tells them, as we said this morning, go forward. I will take care of the Red Sea. Your job is to get your belongings. Your job is to get your family. Your job is to talk to the Lord. Your job is to burn the offerings. Your job is to get your children. Your job is to go forward. Hard to do. Hard to do sometimes to stay daily doing what we know to do. And to not focus on what's in the distance, but to make sure that we're focusing on what's clearly at hand, right in front of us. Lord, help me stay focused today. We find ourselves in difficult, sometimes impossible situations. We must have a different perception of the circumstances surrounding us than the world would have if confronted by the same situation. Let me read that again. As we find ourselves in difficult, sometimes impossible situations, we as Christians must have a different perception of the circumstances surrounding us than the world would have if confronted with the same situation. I'm going to say something. I want you to understand that I believe in doctors. I believe that there's medicine that can help us. I believe that there are people who need these things. But listen to what I'm about to say. And give me some leadway here and understand what I'm saying and let me clarify it. I see as many Christians being divorced as the world is being divorced. I see as many Christian kids on medicine as I see the world on medicine. I see as many adults at psychiatrists and psychologists as the world is at psychiatrists and psychologists. And understand, listen, I believe that there are certain circumstances. I believe that there are people who need those things. Just believe me. Listen, I physically am a person who understands that. my health is horrible at times, and I need to go to doctors, and I need certain medicine, and there's certain times even the chemistry of my body is whacked out, and the doctor says, we're going to put you on this medicine. I say, well, I don't need medicine. I just need some prayer. I need some Bible reading. And, prayer and Bible reading ain't working. It's not helping. So I understand. I understand that there are times emotionally and times physically where it just happens to be that medicine is something that can help you. And God's brought those things across our path. But listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is most of the time, Christians are not having a different response to their trials and tribulations than the world is having to their trials and tribulations. We have Christians in as much debt as the world is in debt. There's Christians getting as many credit cards because they're trying to get out of a situation. They've got as many credit cards as the world has. They're quitting jobs like the world's quitting jobs when things get uncomfortable. They're getting divorced when things get uncomfortable, just like the world's getting caught getting divorced when things are uncomfortable. And what I'm saying to you tonight is the Christians have to have a different response than the world. There has to be something that we let our light shine, our theme this year of glow. There's got to be a different glow about a Christian. And when when everything's going good, that's not what I'm talking about. It's easy to smile when everything's good. I met a fellow Browns fan tonight. This is Joe. He's my new best friend. We're going to probably go to games together, and we're probably going to sit. We probably won't be able to sit together, but based on our size, we'll probably have to sit in the bleachers or something. I'm not sure, but it's hard to be a Browns fan. It's easy to be a Steelers fan. Listen, when you got a good quarterback, he's got his own burger. I was at a restaurant the other day, and the lady said, "Do you want a Roethlisberger?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "We make there's sausage patties and burgers and onions and scrambled eggs on that thing." I'm like, "Is that what he eats before a game or something?" No wonder he's superhuman. He's got scrambled eggs and sausage inside of him when he goes to play. Listen, it's easy to be a Steelers fan. Y'all got championships and Super Bowls, and you got a franchise quarterback. We have quarterbacks. See, in the preseason, we put a guy in and he goes to throw a pass and he feels uncomfortable because he's not good and he runs out of the back of the end zone. You're not supposed to run out of the back of your own end zone. But that's what it's like being a Browns fan. But we still have to smile. I still got to get up tomorrow and be a Browns fan and still read my Bible. And I know, listen, that's a silly illustration, but do you know how many people invest their joy in their sports team? If their sports team doesn't do well, it's over, man. If they can't come to the water cooler at work and talk about how great their team is and how the championship they won, it's over. They're stressed out. They're on depression medicine. They got to go to the hospital and get fixed up, man. It is bad. Try being a Browns fan. That's all I'm saying. My Cavs finally did something to soothe some of the pain, but man, it's horrible. But listen, that's just like the Christian life. The Browns are just like the Christian life. I don't know. I have no idea where this sermon's going. And yes, I took my medicine before the service. But it's just like the Christian life. People have Steeler kind of lives. It's good, man. You're getting the raise at work. It's not hard to smile when they say, "We're giving you $1 an hour raise." It is not hard to smile. Yippee, skippy, oh yeah. Hey, we're making some cuts. We're gonna have to take $1 an hour away. Either that, or we gotta lay you off. You understand what I'm saying? So the Christian life is about responding. Even though you cheer for the Browns. It's responding right, whether it's being a Steeler day or a Browns day. It's whether it's going really, really good or really, really bad. God's people still have to respond right. There ought to be a difference between us and the world. Our joy ought not to be on a roller coaster. We ought to get into the middle of trials and tribulations where God turns things and we're in a mess and we're between strongholds and Pharaoh's behind us and Satan is after us, and God's people have to respond the right way, God's way, while they're in the mess. Can I say this? As long as we have to be stuck in life's messes and stresses, we might as well not miss the main reward. If you're going to be in a mess, if you're going to have stress, you might as well get out of that mess and stress what God wants you to get out of the mess and stress. Here's the title for the principle number 7. We'll read a couple verses here. God, I'll do what you want me to. God, I'll do what you want me to, as long as it allows me to draw closer to you. God, I'll do what you want me to do, as long as it allows me to draw closer to you. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 19, such good scriptures here. Let's read it together, verse number 19. It says this, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." I want you to see that the Bible says the angel of God went before the camp of Israel. The angel of God, as a pillar of the cloud, went from before their face and stood behind them. This angel of God, if you looked back just one chapter in chapter 13, I want to show you who the angel of God is. In chapter 13 and verse number 20, it says, "And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness." We've been talking about these two cities, Etham and Migdal, and they're on the right, or the right side of Etham, the left side of Migdal, right in the middle of those two. Pharaoh behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. And it says this, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." The Bible shows us here that the angel of God is God Himself. It's the Lord Himself. This pillar is leading them. And the truth of this is about Moses' life. It's Moses in the middle of this thing. And the Bible says in Hebrews, we don't have time to go there and read the whole thing. It says, "But he esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he," this is Moses, "had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured," here it is, "as seeing him who is invisible." That word "seeing" is not necessarily like I'm seeing Michael right now. That "seeing" there, that is, there's three levels of hearing. I mean, you're audibly hearing. You hear and kind of give consent to what is being said. And then you hear, give consent, and then you register what's being said and respond to it. That's the same thing with sight. Seeing something, it's kind of the word perception. I perceive that something is going to happen. I perceive something is here. I walked to the auditorium tonight and there was an energy. I don't know if anybody else perceived it tonight, but there was kind of an energy in the room. And sometimes I walk in on Sunday nights and y'all are dead and you're kind of tired and everybody's... Tonight, that wasn't the case. I walked in and I perceived that the Holy Spirit had given you some strength and some rest. The Holy Spirit gave you some Holy Spirit excitement. You were excited to be here tonight. And it's probably due to the orange truck in the parking lot and the Browns fan in the room. I'm just saying. That's the only difference from this morning. So, and Alan Hickson. So you two have brought the Holy Spirit to the room tonight. But we see that we perceive sometimes. We don't necessarily see it physically, but we can see it around us. We can feel it. That's the kind of word that it's saying there. And Moses, by faith, went forward because he perceived God was with him in it. He perceived that God was around him and God was going to protect him. And Moses' attitude was this: Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but it's got to let me draw closer to you. It's got to be something where if I'm going to go through this, then I want to come out closer knowing you better. I want to know you in a way that I haven't known you before. You see, when we see God in chapter 13, listen to me, don't fade away on me, this is exciting stuff. In chapter 13, God shows himself as the guide, right? He's out in front of them, he's a pillar of cloud by day, and then he's a pillar of fire by night, and he's out in front of them guiding them along the way. We're not going to go to that city, we're not going to that city, we're going to turn this way. Wherever the pillar went, they went, he was the guide. When they got in a mess, they saw him in a totally different way. Not only was he their guide, now he's their protector. And the Bible says to Pharaoh, it was black as night. They could not see the army of Israel. They could not move forward because they could not see where they were going. On the other side of that was a pillar of light, and God was protecting them from the darkness, and God was still leading them so that they could go forward as he had told them to. See, in this mess, they got to see God in a different way than if they had not been in the mess. If they never had a mess and they never had a stress, they would have always seen God as a guide. But when they got in a mess, they saw God as their protector. And why does God put us in messes and stresses, Pastor Lear? I don't know why. I don't know sometimes why I find myself in situations. I said, man, I thought I learned this lesson. Why do I got to go through this again? What did I do that was so wrong that I'm finding myself in this situation? I don't get it. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. I'm trying to be what God wants me to be. Why? Sometimes it's because God wants us to see him in a way we've never saw him. And felt him in a way that we've never felt him. And saw and found comfort in him that we've never had before. And seen him protect in a way we've never seen him protect us. Many times in life we see God as our guide. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and we're following the Bible, we're following prayer, we're following counsel, we're following preaching, and God is our guide, and we're kind of navigating this road, and all of a sudden we get stopped. Now what do? God's not guiding anymore. We're not moving forward. We're not going over this Red Sea. We're just trapped. We're here. This is a sticking point. This is a big problem. This is something that I can't get through. This is something I don't have an answer for. And God shows up in a different way than we've ever seen him. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, as long as it allows me to draw closer to you. Have you ever heard of the legend of the Cherokee? The legend of the Cherokee Indian youth rite of passage. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but it goes like this. The Cherokee boy's father takes him into the forest, blindfolds him, and leaves him alone. He is required to sit on a stump the whole night and not remove the blindfold until the rays of the morning sun shine through it. He cannot cry out for help to anyone. Once he survives the night, he is considered a man. He can't tell the other boys of the experience because each must become to manhood on his own. The boy is naturally terrified. He can hear all kinds of noises. Wild beasts must surely be all around him. Maybe even some human might do him harm. The wind blows the grass of the earth and shook his stump. But that night he sat stoically, never removing the blindfold. It would be the only way he could become a man. Finally, after a horrific night, the sun appears over the hills and he removes his blindfold. It is then that he discovers his father sitting on the stump right next to him. He has been at watch the entire night, protecting His Son from harm. My friend, we are never alone. Even when we don't know it, our Lord Jesus is watching over us, sitting on the stump beside us. When trouble comes, all we have to do is trust His presence is there. Having faith, He endured, seeing Him that is invisible. What are you going through tonight? What is it that you lay before the Lord when you come to the altar? What is it that you go to bed at night with, and sometimes you cry and sometimes you just get mad? What is it that tomorrow when you wake up, it'll be there because you left it with the Lord, but it's still there and the devil's still tempting and the devil's still coming? What is it that you got the blindfold on, you're not sure what's going to happen, and you're not sure, you can hear the noises, and you can hear the roaring lion, and you can hear the things of the earth coming after you. You can hear the cares of the world coming upon you, stressing you. All I'm saying to you tonight is, if you're going to be in the mess and the stress, if you're going to have to be trapped, if you're going to have to go through the trial, then get the main reward out of it. And that is the reward of sensing the presence of God like you've never felt. Getting closer to the Lord than you ever have in your entire Christian life. He sat by the fire of sevenfold heat as He watched by the precious ore. And closer He bent with a searching gaze as He heated it more and more. He knew He had ore that could stand the test, and He wanted the finest gold to mold as a crown for the king to wear, set with gems of price untold. So He laid our gold in the burning fire, though we fain would have said nay. As He watched the dross that we had not seen, it melted and melted and passed away. The gold grew brighter and yet more bright, and our eyes were so dim with tears as we saw the fire, not the Master's hand in question, with anxious fear. Yet our gold shone out with a richer glow as it mirrored a form above that bent o'er the fire, though unseen by us, with a look of infinite love. Can we think that it pleases His loving heart to cause a moment of pain? Ah, no. But He saw through the precious present cross the bliss of eternal gain. So we waited there with a watchful eye, with a love that is strong and sure, and His gold, His child, did not suffer one bit more than was needed to make it pure. Listen, my friend, whatever you're going through tonight, God knows exactly how much He can handle. And God knows exactly what to add to you. And I just want you to trust Him tonight. Trust His presence. Trust that He loves you enough to go through the storm with you. Trust Him enough that He's on the stump watching out for you. Trust Him that when you're in the messes and stresses of life, as He said to the children of Israel, I will protect you. Yesterday I was your guide, but nobody's going to harm you. He will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Every second of every day, no matter the trial or tribulation, no matter if it's a Steelers day, no matter if it's a Browns day, God is there in both. Trust His presence. Would you stand together with me for a word of prayer tonight?